Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here, and it's good to see everyone here. We're just a little bit after 9:30. I participated in sunrose services before, but it was sunrising services outside. It was a little south of here, but it's a lot easier to get a family of six here at 9:30 than it is at 7 o'clock. So I'm thankful that we can celebrate this morning at this time. You know, we're here because we know, we believe, because of the revelation of Scripture and God's Spirit testifying in our hearts that Christ indeed rose from the grave 3 days after he was buried there. And as we look at the New Testament, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, they all record the events surrounding the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They each offer maybe a different perspective. Some give some events that others don't. But at their core, there's perfect harmony. And it's interesting, as you look at each of the different gospel accounts and how they talk about the resurrection, you find some truths that appear in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and John. Though there may be some differences based on experience and what the Spirit prompted them to write, you see the same thing in all four. There's at least four things that appear in every gospel account of the resurrection. The first is an empty tomb. We find the empty tomb in all of them. We also see that there's angels testifying to what had taken place, that indeed Jesus Christ had risen. Sadly, in all the different gospel accounts, we also see that the disciples are doubtful. It's clear that they were not expecting Christ to rise because it's shocking to them, almost unbelievable to them. And then finally, another feature we see in all four accounts is that it was women who were witnesses to the initial rising of Jesus Christ. They were the first eyewitnesses to the empty tomb. And I just want to consider that last feature this morning. I want to ask the question and try to answer it maybe in a couple different ways. Why women? Why was it women that God chose to be the first eyewitnesses to the empty tomb? Because we see that every time we come to the resurrection account in one of the Gospels, it's the women were there early, while it was still dark, while there was light. The women are the original witnesses. And why did God honor them with the privilege of being the first to carry the news of victory over sin and of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Why did they get to be witnesses to the greatest event recorded in human history? I think it's a good question. And a similar question that I have is, why not men? Why not fellas? And so we're going to try to answer that question this morning. And I think there's a lot of different ways you can answer this. None of it has anything to do with girl power, which I'm sorry to begin with that. But what I want to do this morning is just consider some reasons why. I'll work through a number of them, but I want to settle on one that I think rises above the rest. And if you bear with me until that point, I'd like to explain why. So why women? Why were they first to witness the empty tomb? Well, you could say, and maybe your mind's already thinking, well, that's what God wanted. That was his plan. Let's go eat. Let's have some breakfast. That's good enough, right? It's good enough that God wanted Mary and the others to be the first ones to be there. It's good enough, but let's keep going. Let's not think with our stomachs. Let's think with our heads here just for a couple of minutes. Why women? All right, number one, God wanted it. Okay, number two, you could say that they deserved it. They deserved it. The women that were there that saw the empty tomb, these are the women that were caring for Jesus during his earthly life. While Jesus was ministering to the crowds, he was curing sicknesses, feeding thousands of people, delivering people from demons, raising people from the dead. He saves Peter from drowning. While Jesus is pouring out and ministering to others, who are the ones ministering to Jesus? It's the women. It's the women that were following with him. As Jesus poured into his disciples day after day, preparing them for ministry for the time that he would ascend to his Father, it wasn't the men that we see caring for Jesus. It was the women that were caring for his needs. And this continued right up until the end of Jesus' life. If you have your Bible, we're going to be all over the place this morning. But I just want to mention a verse here that really just references this care. At the end of Matthew chapters 27, verse 55, this is at the crucifixion. We have this record here in Matthew that many women were there. They were looking on from a distance while Christ was on the cross. And these were those women who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. They had ministered to him in life, and they were ministering to him right up to the end. But that fact, I think, the fact that they're still there at the cross when he's dying, gives us another reason. Not only did they deserve to have this honor because of their care for our Savior, but I think they possessed a courage and a bravery that the disciples lacked, especially at this point in the story of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrections. What did Jesus say to his disciples before he went to the cross, but after the time that he shared with them in the upper room? Get an interesting note here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. This is after the Last Supper, just following that event. They sing a hymn, they go out to the Mount of Olives, and then in verse 31, Jesus says to his disciples, "You will all fall away from me this night. It is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." And we know that's what happened. Peter says it's not going to happen. Jesus says it is going to happen. You're going to deny me even tonight three times. When Jesus is on the cross, there's only one disciple that's left by his side. Who was it? It was John. John is there. John's the only disciple we find by Christ when he's on the cross. The only one recorded. But what's interesting is we already noted in Matthew 27, verse 55, that there's many women. Many women are still there. They're still looking on. So where were the rest of the disciples? We don't really hear a lot about them. We get an idea, though, of what was happening. If we flip over to John chapter 20, in John chapter 20, verse 19, we catch up with the disciples, but we catch up with them after Christ has already risen from the grave. This is where we find them in a room together. So when it was evening on that day, the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." So we don't know exactly what the disciples were doing this entire time, but when we do find them, we find them hiding out together in a room with the door shut when Christ appears to them. It's very different from what we see with the women. We see them with Christ right up to the end. Well, you know, there is another reason, maybe, that the women were there, that they were the first witnesses to the tomb. I think this is a lot more practical reason. You know, it's quite possible that the women didn't believe that the men did a good enough job getting Jesus ready for burial. It's quite possible that it was simply a practical reason that drove them to the empty tomb. We know that after Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea, we've seen this in the Gospel of Luke as my dad's preached through it, Joseph, he gathers up courage, it says in one of the Gospels, goes to Pilate, and he asks for the body of Jesus. It appears that he was somewhat of a secret follower up to this point, but after this question, it's not possible for him to be a secret follower anymore. He declares himself to be on the side of Jesus. Pilate grants the body. We know that Joseph gets the body and he wraps it in a cloth and he lays it in a tomb. And we know that another secret follower of Jesus was with him. His name was Nicodemus, the one that came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. It's recorded that he brings 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. And so these two men are preparing Jesus' body for the tomb in the traditional Jewish way. They're wrapping it with these spices and the linen cloth. We also know from John 19:42 that it was the day of preparation. The Sabbath was quickly approaching, and so the guys didn't really have a lot of time. That's one of the reasons why we believe that they buried him in that garden tomb because it was near, it was close. And so I think you have a perfect storm of events here. You have men trying to prepare the body for burial, who probably would have had a lot of trouble had they had the entire day to do it. Let's just be real. They're getting Jesus ready for burial, but there's also a time crunch. This is a recipe for disaster. And while all of this is happening, who's looking on? The women. They're watching this happen because they know where Jesus is buried. They know this because they go straight there on the first day of the week. So it's possible that they just felt like, you know, maybe the guys had a good start, but they were going to come and they were going to finish the job. And so maybe that's the reason they were the first witnesses, because this desire to help with the burial brought them there before everyone else. That's possible. Maybe a fifth reason. Maybe God honored the women with this role in proclaiming the resurrection because it was His purpose to elevate women, to raise them up in the eyes of their countrymen, of those around them. You know, it's true, the women held definitely a lower position in society at that time. And it's true that Jesus definitely raised the status of women. He cared for women and treated them in ways that were really countercultural, unusual at that time. We would look to His treatment of women and want to follow His example. Jesus consistently did that in His life and ministry, but not only women, but also children. It's hard to imagine that. Children hold such a special place in our hearts and the role of our lives. They're the joy of our lives, it seems. And yet in Scripture, it's the disciples keeping the children away from Christ. What does Jesus do with that too? He kind of flips that on its head. Let the children come to me. Showing the dignity and value of children, even using them as an example of what it means to trust. So it's possible, and I would say totally legitimate, that this raises the status of women. But maybe one more, and I think this one of all but the one I'm going to say for last has the most merit. Maybe the women were the first to give testimony to Christ's resurrection because they just simply had an amazing love for Him. Maybe it was because their love drove them to the tomb. We kind of touched briefly on this when we mentioned the care they had for women, but I want to kind of mention another aspect related to that. Because not only did they care for Christ, but they demonstrated affection for Him in a very simple way, a way that we understand completely. They just wanted to be around Him. They always wanted to be with Christ in His life, while He was on the cross. They even wanted to be around Him at the tomb. We understand this. We lose those that are dear to us, and we bury them, and we go to their gravesite. We spend time there. We know it's just the body, that the soul has departed. But our great love and affection for someone overflows into this desire to just be with them, to be around them. It's part and parcel of loving someone. It's just wanting to be close to them. And so maybe that's the reason why the women were there, because they definitely did love Him. Their grief was real. They demonstrated amazing bravery. And maybe all that just merged together, and that's what drove them there that first Sunday morning. Well, I want to look at one more reason why the women were the original witnesses. And I think this reason stands above the rest. I'll explain. I think it was the women that God chose, not the men, not the disciples, not anyone else, because I think the women provide the most powerful eyewitness testimony to Jesus' bodily resurrection. Let me explain. I believe that the women provide the best evidence for Christ's resurrection, because according to the Bible, what we have written down in the Bible, only those women that followed Jesus were there to see each of the following three things: Jesus' death on the cross, His burial in the tomb, and His resurrection, or the empty tomb. No one else saw all three events, at least as we have recorded. And this is really important, because if you're going to be an eyewitness to the resurrection, to the empty tomb, you must also have seen Jesus being put into the tomb, and you must also have seen Jesus die. It's a chain, and they all go together. If you're going to be a testimony, a witness to the resurrection, you have to see the death, you have to see the burial personally, and you have to see the empty tomb. The Apostle John saw Jesus die. He was there at the cross. He's there at the empty tomb, but it's not recorded that he was there at the burial. He could have been, but it's not recorded. Joseph and Nicodemus, they bury Jesus, but we don't know if they saw him on the cross, and we don't know about the empty tomb. Peter is at the empty tomb, but we don't know where Peter is when Jesus dies and when Jesus is buried. It's only those women that loved Christ and served him, that give this testimony to each and every part of the, really, the granting and the accomplishing of our salvation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to look at verses 3 and 4. I love 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, because of all the different explanations that we have of the gospel in Scripture, this gives us the historical view of the gospel, the events that God accomplished in order to forgive us from our sins. Verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." Here it is, that Christ, number one, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And number two, that he was buried. And number three, that he was raised on the third day, according to our Scriptures. Those three links in the chain, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, this summary of the gospel that Paul gives concerning the history, the truth of it in real life, the eyewitnesses of that were the women. And I think the reason that God chose them to see it first is because they were there. They saw all three. They provide an impeccable, perfect, harmonious testimony and evidence concerning what they saw and what they knew to be true. And I think this is important for us this morning as I bring our time to a close, because this really helps us when we come, especially this day, as we remember Jesus rising from the dead. Because if you're like me, you've come here believing in your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, that he is alive today, we have eternal life through him. We believe that in our heart, and we should. But our belief is not limited to that. It expands to include our minds. We believe in our heart, but we also know with our mind. And how do we know with our mind? Because we have God's revelation. We have the Bible. And what do we have in the Bible? The testimony of faithful, loving, devoted, courageous women that God used to reveal to us the fact that what we believe about Christ is true, historically true, based on facts that are provable, and we have the evidence. And combine that with the testimony we have in our own heart from God's Spirit, we believe, and it's not blind, because we have the testimony indeed that Christ has risen from the grave. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the record we have of your resurrection. We know what it means for us. We know that it means victory has been accomplished. And we know that in Christ, we too have victory. Our sins are forgiven, and we will live forever with you. And Father, we also know that because of your victory and the eternal life that we possess, we live even now with a relationship with you that is unlike anything we've ever experienced in this life. We praise you and thank you for the salvation we have. In Jesus' name, amen.